reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these spiritual gifts then, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of tongues, the gifts of knowledge, they would teach the Corinthians in part what they should know. Says, and now these three remain, faith and hope and love, but the greatest of these is love.
第十三节说呢, 如今常有的,常成的,有信,有望,有爱, 这三样,其中最大的是爱。
So faith is a wonderful thing to have. As you read the Bible, you will get all manner of reason to believe.
当你读圣经的时候呢，你会得到很多你要相信的理由和原因。And
the faith that comes from the Bible will be wonderfully exciting.
从圣经来的信会让你感到非常美的一个信。
Very valuable. And very foundational. Faith is like the solid rock foundation that you build on. The facts of the truth of the Bible are the foundation.
那个真理呢,就是,圣经就是真理的一个基石。
Those facts are like a rock.
你那些,你们讲到的事呢,就像一个岩石。
But if you believe those facts, you can start to build. A rock is of no value in the construction industry unless you decide to build on it.
所以当你相信
So the facts are there, but faith says I'm going to do something with that. And so you start to build on that foundation. If you were building a house, you would build a house. We're not building a physical house. We're building a spiritual house. And somebody comes along to you and says, "What on earth are you doing?" Oh, you say, "I'm building on the foundation, the facts of the truth of God in the Bible. I'm building on it." And they say to you, "Why would you waste your time doing that?" And you would say, "Because the Bible promises that we get our sins forgiven. The Bible promises that we will get abundant life. The Bible promises that we go to heaven. And I'm hoping that that is true. And the Bible then says that the foundation is the facts, and the faith gets us going, and the hope keeps us going. We say, I believe the Bible is true, and it has filled me with hope for the future. Two kinds of hope. The first kind is the normal kind of hope that we have in our world today. Somebody says to you something about the future, and you say, well, I hope so. You say, might not be true. I think it's pretty true. It's worth the bet if you like. I hope everything's going to be okay. But in the Bible, hope is the assurance, the confidence of what is going to happen. It isn't, I hope it's going to happen. It is, I know it's going to happen, and therefore I'm going on it, I'm enthused. So hope is what keeps us smiling in the difficult day. Faith says, I know it's going to happen. Hope says, I'm really excited about it. I keep on thinking about the little children and Christmas. The little child says, I know there's going to be Christmas. I've asked for a special toy. And the little child gets all excited because he hopes that on Christmas he'll get that toy. He's not sure that he will, but he hopes that he will. The Christian says, I'm going to heaven. And I'm all excited about it. Because I hope that it's going to happen. And my hope is that I know it's going to happen. That's why the Christian gets so excited. All of which leads to love. How can you possibly live love? Well, love is built on hope. And if you don't hope, you're not going to love very well. A little child gets up in the morning. And he says to mommy, Mommy, is it going to be a nice day?
她跟妈妈说，妈妈，今天的天气会好吗？
What's mommy say?
妈妈会说什么？
If mommy has hope, she says yes.
如果她妈妈有希望，她就会说好。
If mommy doesn't have hope, she can't even love her child the way he should be loved.
所以如果一个妈妈她没有希望的话，她不可能像她应该去爱她的孩子那样爱她的孩子。
There's a very awkward phrase in English. It's hard to translate, but those of you who know English will understand it. It goes like this. If mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
在英语里面呢有一个很难翻译的一个句子，如果你们大家英语很好的话，你们大家就会理解。他说如果一个妈妈我试着翻译啊，一个妈妈她如果吃得好的话，她的就没有人会吃得不好。
Okay, so mama can love because she has hope.
一个妈妈她可以去爱，是因为她有希望。
And she has hope because she has faith.
她有希望是因为她有信心。
And she has faith because she acknowledges the veracity of the facts upon which her faith is based. 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Why is that?
我们在16th 教会里我们互相爱，为什么会这样？
Because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in hope.
因为我们在传讲主耶稣的真理，在希望去讲。
We know it's going to work because it's based on the faith that we have in the fact of the love of God. I went to my doctor once. I said to him, Doctor, I've got a sore knee. Can you help me? He said, take these pills. I said, Doctor, will they help? He said, I don't think so. I thought, well, Doctor, I said to him, why should I take them if they won't work? He said, well, if I were you, I wouldn't take them either. thought, I'm going to get a new doctor. Okay, we preach the truth of God at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Why? Because we love those that we can preach to. Because we hope, because we know if they believe it, they will get the same blessings that we got when we believed it. How do we know it's going to work? It's the fact of the Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. What's that mean? It means we love one another. That's what it means. You love me, I love you. We all love one another in the family of God. Is that good? Is that exciting? Amen. Will it work? How do we know? Love never fails. Okay. Questions on all of this before we get into chapter 14. Any questions? Any comments? Joanna.
I guess that's more a comment, but like being here only since August, or the end of August, there have been so many people that have said to me, I love coming to 16th. Because I feel the love of God from the saints there. And that's definitely been my experience as well. And as you were talking, I just thought, yes, we see the love of God through each other, and it's a blessing.
That's what it should be. Any other comments? All right, let's go on to chapter 14. Chapter 14 is going to be seeing how this works out in the congregation, in the assembly of the people of God. How should this work out in 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel? So verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So there's a sense in which the word prophecy has three different meanings. The most foundational meaning for the word prophecy is the information relating to what's going to happen in the future. So we often look at the book of Revelation, and we conclude on the basis of that book what will happen in the future. It's a book of prophecy, future events. But maybe there is a more general definition of prophecy, and that is the act of telling people what is going to happen in the future. And that actually includes all preaching, doesn't it? What do we preach at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel? We preach that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's a message of prophecy. You believe now, your future will be salvation. A Sunday school teacher tells the children in his class that they, if they believe the Lord Jesus Christ, their lives will end up being full of his blessing. They are told to believe it today so that the future will be better. Is a sense then in which all our teaching is prophecy. And that is the meaning of the word here in verse number 1. The Lord is saying that everyone should pray that they will have the gift of prophecy, the gift of being able to tell people about God's plan for the future. The third meaning of the word is the meaning that we considered earlier in the verses at the end of chapter 13, a particular gift of prophecy that was going to pass away. So, the plan for God's church, for 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, and for all other churches and the Church Universal, the plan is that we would love and we would explain to others what God's plan for the future is. We would be prophets. Verse 2 says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So the question is, what would the phrase to speak in a tongue or to speak in tongues, what would that phrase mean? And if you were to go back to Acts chapter 2, you would see that a miraculous gift was given to the members of the early church. Their ability to speak in a tongue or their ability to speak in a language that they did not know or understand. Chapter 2, there were some 17 different nationalities referred to in that chapter. Each of these had their own native language. And frankly, they understood those languages better than they understood the language that they spoke when they got to Jerusalem. And part of the miracle of the day of Pentecost was that the fact that the Christians in Jerusalem at that time were miraculously able to speak the language of one of these different 17 different nationalities. Today, it would be something like this. Each of you would be able to speak a language you did not understand. So if there were people from Europe here, one of you would be able to speak Slovenian, and another could speak Norwegian, and another could speak Swedish, and another could speak German. Understand what you were saying, but the people who heard you would understand what they were saying. If you were speaking English and we were in an English meeting, we could understand it. But if you started to speak to a Norwegian to a man from Norway in the Norwegian language, he could understand it, but you and I couldn't understand it. language that nobody else understood, but the question was, should they speak that language in the church? And the answer is, if they spoke that language in the church, no one would understand them. They were speaking to God. They would speak to somebody in the church who might know that language, but there would be very few who did, and the majority would not understand it. So, verse 2 says that if he speaks in that language, very few or nobody will understand him. But if he speaks in prophecy, verse 3, then people will understand. Verse 3 then, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up, edifies the church. So the logic is, when you're in a church context, you speak the language of that church. So it's possible for us to speak many different languages, but we want to speak a language we can all understand. And sometimes we even need a translator or an interpreter to help us understand. Verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in other languages, in tongues, but I would rather have you all prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. In the church is that all of us grow together, and we grow together by speaking the same language or having a translator who can help us speak the same language. In our day, there are people who say, well, I can speak some miraculous spiritual language, and when I speak it, it feels good, or it will build me up. I want to speak in tongues in the church.
That often,
that may be good, but it is far better in the church to speak language that everyone can understand. Maybe just a couple of other verses and then some questions. Now, brothers, if I come to you, verse 6, and speak in tongues, what good will it be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Come together, there's got to be some instruction given. Even verse 7, in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a flute or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. All right, so there's a description of the problem that was in Corinth. Maybe some questions to clarify what we're talking about. All right, maybe I can help you with a little bit of explanation. Some people believe that the gift of tongues is still active today. Chapter 13, verse 8 says, where there are tongues, they will be still. They will pass away. Some people who call themselves Christians and some who are Christians say, no, this gift is here today and we can't speak in tongues even today.
Some
say, this is good, this is powerful, and we should be using it, we should be practicing it today. There are a couple of problems with that. One is, the Bible says that those tongues are going to pass away. That's the first problem. The second problem is that if they exist, their benefit is for the one who speaks in the tongues, not for the congregation. God's plan in chapter 12, 13, and 14 is clear. The gifts that God has given you and the gifts that God has given me in the church are for the church, not just for you or me. So if God has given you a gift, and you only use it for yourself, you have robbed me and the others. Our role in the church, therefore, is to use our gifts to build up the church. The gift of tongues, as it was practiced then and is often practiced today, was being abused, and it was used so that people would benefit themselves, not for the benefit of others. And the third principle is that if there is a gift, it should be used in such a way to build the church up, not for yourself. So Paul's conclusion, I shouldn't say conclusion, Paul's next point on this, verse 18, is, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. He says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but I put those childish things away. Verse 20 says, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Keep on going through the next verse. This is a long verse. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord.
I just read verse 21. 是第二十一节，立马上记得主说，我们要用外邦人的舌头、外邦人的嘴唇，向这百姓说话。虽然如此，他们还是不听从我。
All right, so I'm going to ask for questions again. We're going to have to spend time on this next week, but I'm going to ask for questions again to make sure that we're a clearer understanding. This is a confusing section of the Bible. It's a section of the Bible that some people have taken in a different and a wrong direction. Maybe some questions will clarify it. Do you have questions?
教会当中啊，其实我们是有一些听到讲方言的姊妹，然后呢，这个方言呢也不像是哪一个国家的，反正我们是听不懂。只要祷告的时候呢，他一定会用到方言，他会认为这是神给到他的恩赐，他会自己的感觉也会蛮骄傲的，就是，所以我在想。没有得到方言的人是不是就是没有这样的圣灵同住的这种恩赐
So your question is in China many local church local assembly that many sisters they think they can speak tongue especially when they pray and pray they think they are very proud of that they think they have the special gift from God so her question is if someone cannot speak a tongue that means the Holy Spirit started with them
all right Jane that is not just in China that is a problem in Canada, the United States, the Western world as well. And it's a big problem. So much of chapter 14 is going to be on this subject. I guess we're in chapter 14. The rest of chapter 14 is going to be about this. It's a big problem. So, what we've been considering thus far are foundational reasons, foundational logic to put the subject of tongues into the proper context. So I can't remember all the points in what you said, but let me refer to just two or three. One is that we shouldn't be proud of our ability to speak in tongues. We should be proud of our ability to preach the truth of God so that everyone can understand.
Okay.
everybody can understand 10,000 words in a language they can't understand. So who would be the greater in the congregation? A man who can speak 10 words, or a woman if you like, but a man who can speak 10 words in a language we can understand, or another one who could speak 10,000 words in a language that we couldn't understand? Who would be greater? Is the man who spoke the 10 words would be have more reason for pride than the person who spoke 10,000 words in a language they couldn't understand. But verse 34 says, we haven't got there yet, we'll get there next week. Verse 34 says, the women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak. So something's very wrong. If the women were speaking, when the passage that deals with the subject says they should not speak. So something is wrong. Now, you probably alluded to many other things. I just can't remember, and I apologize. Alright, the clock says it's time for us to stop. We're going to stop. But we're going to carry on next week. We'll go down to the bottom of the chapter, and we'll see the other arguments, and then we'll go back to the many questions that you have, trying to resolve them. But we want to get an understanding. This was a problem in Corinth. This is a problem, James says, in China. It is a problem in Vancouver. It's a big problem. So we'll come back to it next week, try to finish it off, but get a broader understanding. We've considered several of the foundational arguments today. In this study tonight, or this afternoon, we've been told that that the Bible itself is more authoritative than a tongue or a prophecy or some knowledge. We thank you for giving to us the complete teaching of God, especially the book of Corinthians.
Amen.
especially in this subject of tongues, we have three specific prayer requests. Number one is, may we understand what the truth is. Number two is, may we obey what the truth is. And Lord, help us to clearly and lovingly explain it to others who are confused on this subject and may be in great error because of that. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And just help us to live what we learn. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all today. The Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Harold.
Thank you, Harold.
Thank you, 白弟兄，白弟兄也辛苦了。
谢谢。
提的问题很好。
谢谢。
好，拜拜。
好，下次见。
Yes, yes. Very good.